Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, South Sudan sentences 70 soldiers to death by firing squad after court found them guilty of murder, rape and looting, among other crimes.
The SPLA made good its promise of ensuring that those who committed crimes are punished for their crimes, some to death, some to so many years in prison.
A leader of the Biafra indigenous people in Nigeria tells Africa Link how his group has been marginalized.
Our environment has been destroyed for over 100 years. The point is, we live in a so-called country where we are not tolerated.
Plus, a brand new series of Crime Fighters, a Learning by Ear production. Stay tuned.
Top story.
We begin in South Sudan, where rebel leader Riek Machar issued a call for renewed war with the government this weekend, declaring the collapse of an internationally backed peace deal. Meanwhile, more than 7 soldiers were sentenced to death by firing squad after military martial court convicted them on charges of murder, rape and looting of property during last July's fighting between forces loyal to Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula sent this report.
More than 300 people died in South Sudan in July during violence that followed fighting between rival forces backing two of the country's top politicians, President Salva Kiir and his former Vice President Riek Machar. At the time, dozens of soldiers committed crimes of murder, rape and extensive looting. Now, a Juba court-martial has meted out a death sentence by firing squad to more than 70 of the soldiers after convicting them on those charges. Dozens of other soldiers were given jail sentences ranging from 5 to 14 years. Confirming the death sentences passed on the soldiers, Army spokesman Brigadier Lal Ruai Koang said,
"The SPLA General Headquarters made good its promise of ensuring that those who committed crimes are punished for their crimes, some to death, some to so many years in prison. We meant business. We are serious about those who have been tarnishing the name of the SPLA."
However, Army spokesman Brigadier Lal Ruai Koang did not disclose the date that the firing military squad will execute the soldiers. But he pointed out that the death sentence will be forwarded to President Salva Kiir for approval. The UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict Areas, Zainabu Hawa Bangura, who recently visited the country, described what she saw during her visit.
"It's unbelievable. It's painful. But I have never seen what I saw."
According to Bangura, she saw raped women and defiled children and heard horrifying stories of sexual violence when she visited the UN camp for the internally displaced people in South Sudan's capital Juba. Meanwhile, international human rights groups have urged the South Sudan government to join United Nations member states that have abolished the death penalty.
James Shimanyula reporting. With a court decision due in the case of the pro-Biafra leader Nnamdi Kanu in late September, many Igbo people living in exile took to simultaneous protests across Europe to draw attention to their cause. One of those protests was held in Bonn, Germany, where roughly 100 protesters gathered, chanting slogans and handing out glossy flyers. It's been decades since the plight of the Igbo people of Biafra was highlighted during the Nigerian Civil War. The movement to resurrect the Republic of Biafra is gaining momentum. My colleague Jane Ayoko spoke to Tony Nzromike, National Coordinator for the Indigenous People of Biafra, and he explains why they demonstrated.
"We are primarily demonstrating for the freedom of our leader called Nnamdi Kanu. He has been wrongly incarcerated for some time for no good reason other than the fact that they want to stop our quest for freedom."
So, Mr. Nzromike, you've been demonstrating in pursuit to see that your leader, Mr. Kanu, should be released. But that's not all. The whole story behind it is that you want independence from Nigeria. Why is it important for you, Biafran, to be independent?
The reason why we cannot be part of bigger Nigeria is because, first of all, Nigeria was created by a human being. See, when people are indigenous, when people are together and things run good, it's because they share a common value. In Nigeria, we have gone into this experiment for about 100 years and it's not working. The point is, we live in a so-called country where we are not tolerated.
If I get you right, it's about independence, it's about living as indigenous people. But there is also another theory that says that actually the Biafra struggle is a struggle for oil. Is that right?
That is completely wrong. The point is that we've been marginalized. The point is that, you see, when you say now the war has come to an end, everybody is fine, we are now one Nigeria. And then you begin to pollute the environment of those people you know, where you get your money from, where you get the oil from, where you get your gas from. You pollute the environment. You do nothing to clean it. Our environment has been destroyed for over 100 years. How long are we going to wait? We see these people, we see that they don't care about our lives. Our people are dying out of cancer.
So before you get further, Tony, I would just like to get from you, as the national coordinator of the Biafra supporters here in Germany, how strong is your movement?
Our movement, I tell you, is very strong, just like in any other country, because you know what? The Biafrans that are out today to ask for Biafra are not the types that will sell their own birthright. We are here, and we are here to stay.
Apart from the strength of your movement here in Germany, I would also like to hear from you how closely you are in contact with the Biafra followers in Nigeria as well as elsewhere in the world.
Our structure is well intact. We are, first and foremost, hardcore Biafrans. That means we do not exercise any prevarication. And that means we have one common ideology. And we maintain philosophical and ideological consistency wherever we are. And that is what keeps us together, because we have one common value and one more strong belief that we must be free.
Tony Nzuramike, National Coordinator, Indigenous People of Biafra.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
U.S. President Barack Obama has held the opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, a long-awaited testament to black suffering and triumph in the United States. Obama cut the ribbon to inaugurate the striking 37,000 square meter edifice before thousands of spectators gathered in this capital at a time of growing racial friction. This report by Ashutosh Pandai and Marina Strauss is presented by Eunice Wanjiru.
Dori Ladner has spent her life fighting for civil rights for the African American community. She was arrested for raising her voice against segregation. In 1963, she took part in the historic March on Washington, D.C. For her, the new museum documents more than just her own struggle.
I feel jubilant, happy, uplifted. I feel that the work that I've done in the civil rights struggle is manifesting itself in the form of a museum to tell a story, to tell many stories.
Ladner donated a sweatshirt to the African American Museum. She bought it at the Million Man March in 1995, when hundreds of thousands of African Americans gathered in the heart of Washington, D.C. in the show of unity. The sweatshirt promoting the march that took place on October 16th is one of the 40,000 items on display which narrates tales of tragedy and triumph. The museum director, Lonnie Bunch, explains why it is important.
All who visit can understand not just the history of a community, but the history of a country. That for us, this museum is a people's journey, but it's a nation story. And I think that that notion of being able to understand how we're all shaped by this story is what makes this museum very special.
Using various exhibits, the museum tells many stories from slavery and segregation to the election of the first African-American president. Realizing the dream of an African-American museum was a struggle in itself. It took decades to secure the funding, congressional approval, and a suitable location. The organizers persevered, and the museum stands on the National Mall in the U.S. Capitol right next to the Washington Monument. Dori Ladner has yet to visit the museum. For her, it will be an emotional journey, relieving key moments of her life.
The emotion of happiness, sorrow, the past and present, and how far we've come as a race of people, and how far we have to go, because we're still going. We're not anywhere equal. And so every gain that is made is a testament.
For Ladner and many others, the struggle goes on, especially at a time when race is so central to the political discourse in the United States.
A report by Ashutosh Pandey and Marina Strauss. Now, on 6 September, the vital rail link between Cote d'Ivoire's main port, Abidjan, and the Burkina Faso capital, Ouagadougou, was cut. At Dibokro, just 180 kilometers north from Abidjan, a bridge collapsed as a freight train crossed it. Repairs would take weeks, if not months, it was said at the time. Imagine the relief in landlocked Burkina Faso after Star Rail, the company running the railway, announced that the bridge had been repaired. Normal traffic resumed this Sunday. From Ouagadougou, Bram Posthumus reports.
Almost daily, people and merchandise travel back and forth between here, Ouagadougou, and Abidjan on the coast. A journey of 1,260 kilometers. And it's much more than just a railway.
Strategically, this is such a vital link. It's best seen as an umbilical cord. Mostly food and manufactured goods come through by this train, but also building materials. Abidjan is our main provider.
That's Karim Gadiaga, who writes on The Economy. And where do we find the wares that this train moves across these vast lands? Here. This is Ouagadougou's sprawling central market, and you can find everything here, from refrigerators to school books, from shoes to vegetables and gas rings for cooking. Mr. Luga sells a lot of these wares from his spot on the Yeninga Avenue.
I sell gas, generators, ventilators, kitchenware, and so on. Yes, I travel by train. It means security. You are at ease. You travel in peace, and there is no hassle on the way.
With that, he means no uniformed personnel, notorious for their habit of taking travelers' money, especially in Côte d'Ivoire. Some market men and women travel with their wares, but others are quite happy to wait for their merchandise to come into Ouagadougou's railway station, where they can pick it up. That's Alassane's method. He sells fresh flowers, and the collapse of the bridge got him really worried.
Yes, I was worried. I didn't really have enough for my customers. When the bridge fell, all supplies were cut. But then what can you do? Just wait and hope for the best. But now that the bridge has been repaired, it's back to how it should be.
Mariama Zungrana, meanwhile, is pleased for another reason.
Well, there were no casualties, thanks be to God. As for me, the vegetables I sell are grown here in Burkina Faso. But the fruits come from South Africa and Morocco. They pass through Cotonou and Abidjan, and these come by train.
The railway transported 200,000 people in 2015 and 900,000 tons of freight. The railway company has announced the complete rehabilitation of the line at the cost of more than 400 million euros. That means more passengers, more goods, on a faster and more reliable service. Ouagadougou can't wait for that to become reality.
Bram Posthumus with that report. Well, 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 crime fighters are back and with a bang. Take a listen and enjoy.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and a warm welcome to another exciting Crime Fighters series from DW. The title of this drama is Click on the Link, and it was written by Wanjiko Mwaura. Our story takes place in the vibrant African city of Mawatu. The pace of life in Mawatu has been changed by technology, with more young people using their phones to access the internet and enjoy social media platforms. The students at Hakiri College are shocked when they learn on social media that one of their classmates, Zawadi, has been found lying on the roadside, severely wounded. The young woman is now in a coma. Speculation is going viral in this first episode entitled, Did He Do It? We're about to meet Kendi, Zawadi's best friend, and Matu, Zawadi's boyfriend, who are visiting her in hospital.
Matu, I can't believe anyone would stab Zawadi. Of all people. She's the sweetest person I know. The best friend I've ever had.
I can't believe it either. Whoever did it didn't even take anything from her. The police found her bag, and her phone and wallet were still in it.
Maybe she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or maybe...
If we hadn't fought, Zawadi wouldn't be lying here.
What are you talking about, Matu?
Kendi, we had a huge fight after we left class yesterday.
Why?
I accused Zawadi of cheating on me with a stranger she'd met online. A guy she'd never even met in real life.
That guy, Zake Makele? Zawadi mentioned him to me.
Yes, him. He'd been showing a lot of interest in Zawadi, and I told her to stop encouraging him. She told me I should stop interfering in her business.
Matu, try not to focus on it. Don't beat yourself up about it.
You don't understand. This was the worst fight we've ever had. She threw a book at me and stormed off. I ran after her, but she wouldn't talk to me. So I let her go.
But you didn't stab Zawadi, did you?
Kendi, of course not. How can you even say that?
To show you that you need to stop blaming yourself.
But I feel like it's my fault. I should have been there to protect her. Do you think someone could have wanted her dead?
Like who? I can't think of anyone. We hang out together all the time. And she's never mentioned anything strange. Did she ever say anything to you?
No, never. She wasn't even concerned when that online guy said he'd do anything just to meet up with her. She said she did plan to meet him because he seemed more interested in her than I was.
That's not like her at all. So, did she meet him?
No. She said she'd only told me that to make me jealous. I wish she hadn't. We wouldn't have fought, and we would have walked home together like we always did.
Zawadi told Zaki that she wanted to meet him.
I don't know. Wait, do you think this guy may have had something to do with the stabbing?
It's possible. Haven't you heard of people who stalk others online and hurt them?
Huh?
You know what? Maybe I could ask Tembo what he thinks about all this. Remember him, the IT guy from the police we hang out with sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
I really hope Zawadi wakes up soon. Maybe she'll remember who did this to her.
Visiting time is over now.
May we stay a little longer?
Sorry, it's not allowed.
Come on, Matu. We have to get back for afternoon classes.
Excuse me. Hello? Excuse me, guys. Can you be quiet, please? Our lecturer, Mr. Miwani, has requested that we wait a few minutes. He's just coming back and he's got some guests.
Matu, after such a day, staying even longer.
I'd rather have stayed with Zawadi.
You need to keep yourself busy. The doctors are taking good care of her. Don't worry.
Thank you for waiting, everyone. These are Officers Fred Obi and Sally Besso. As you might already have heard, one of your fellow classmates, Zawadi, is in hospital after being stabbed last night. The police are here because they would like anyone with any information to come forward, as it may help them catch the culprit.
Excuse me, madam. What kind of information are you looking for?
We're looking for anyone who might have seen Zawadi yesterday evening, or someone who might have known where she was going.
Yes.
Who are her close friends or neighbors? Don't be afraid to come forward.
Please, take this opportunity to talk to the officers and tell them anything you may know. Class dismissed.
Hey, Matu, don't you think you should go and tell them about the fight you had with Zawadi yesterday after class? So many people saw you. Someone's sure to tell them if you don't.
What's your problem? Mind your own business, Kilele.
I'm just saying, bro. This could look really bad for you.
Thanks for your concern, but I have nothing to worry about. Let's go, Kendi.
Hey, is there a problem here?
No, Officer Obi. We were just leaving. Isn't that right, Kendi?
Actually, I wanted to talk to the police. Go ahead, Matu. I'll see you tomorrow.
I want to talk to the police too.
Okay, bye then.
Mr. and Mrs. Ketu, my name is Inspector Mundo. I'm heading the investigation into your daughter's case. I'm very sorry about what happened to her, and I assure you we are doing everything we can to get the person who did this.
What happened to her?
The lady who took her to hospital said she found Zawadi unconscious by the roadside this morning as she was driving to work.
No.
From preliminary reports, we know that your daughter was stabbed sometime during the night.
What can we do to help, Inspector?
Do you know anyone who might have wanted to harm your daughter?
No. She never complained about anyone.
But she always told us she was an adult now and she could take care of herself. We've only met one of her friends, Kadi.
Kendi. We met her once before and again this morning at the hospital.
So no boyfriend that you know of?
None that we've met. But she may well have had one. She never gave us any reason to worry, though. Her grades were always good. She's a good girl. Please, Inspector, find out who did this.
Mr. Ketu, we fully intend to find them. Two officers assigned to this case, Fred Obi and Sally Besso, are investigating as we speak.
Why?
We need to get back to the hospital, sir. We need to be with our daughter when she wakes up.
Look, Kendi, isn't that Officer Besso and Officer Obi?
Hey, Kilele, yeah. I wonder what they want today.
Hey, morning, Kendi.
Morning, Matu.
Oh, why are the police back again?
No one seems to know. Let's wait and see. Uh-oh, Officer Fred's pointing at us.
Uh-huh, and they're coming this way.
You must be Matu.
I am. Why?
You are a suspect in the stabbing of Zawadi Ketu.
What?
We are taking you into custody for further investigations.
Why are you arresting him?
Matu, you need to come with us.
Kendi, no, what's this? What's going on?
Come on, move.
No, let me go.
Hey.
Innocent.
Hey,
let
young
me go.
Man. Young man.
Come on.
Move.
With this, we come to the end of the first episode of Click on the Link. Does Matu really have something to do with his girlfriend's stabbing? We also heard something about Zake, the man she met online. Who is he? And what about Zawadi? Will she wake up? Find out in the next episode. As always, you can listen to this episode again by visiting our webpage, dw.com/crimefighters. Do connect with us by liking our Facebook page and let us know what you think of this series. Until next time, be well.
And now a reminder of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. South Sudan sentences 70 soldiers to death by firing squad after court found them guilty of murder, rape and looting, among other crimes. U.S. President Barack Obama has hailed the opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington. We've also been hearing an activist telling us how the Biafran people in Nigeria have been marginalized. For more news, visit our website dw.com/Africa. And this is Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.